Hey guys, this is Chelsea Brown and welcome back to Time Traveler. I return lost heirlooms to families, and in this podcast, I'll be sharing all of my juiciest returns and the stories behind them, deep diving into the scandal and drama behind genealogy,
giving a historical point of view on trending topics and pop culture.
But most importantly, I'm using these heirlooms to travel back in time
to connect us with real, raw moments in history.
So today I want to start by talking about a World War I diary I found with a tragic ending. This is actually a great example of an artifact where I haven't been able to find a descendant or a family member yet. And I'll explain why in a second. Basically, this diary was written by a very young teenage soldier who was fighting in France during World War I. I have never come across a diary where each page is so filled, or I've never come across a war diary where each page is this filled. I mean, you really get a sense for every emotion he's going through and what his day-to-day looked like during such a tragic war. In any war diary, you always want the pages to be filled through the end of the diary for obvious reasons. When the entries just stop, that is usually a sign of death. And in this case, that's exactly what happened. One day, the entries just completely came to a stop and the rest of the diary remained empty. When looking up this soldier's records, he did in fact die on the day that the entry stopped. But what's even more heartbreaking is in the page after the entry stopped, his mother actually wrote in a line that says, "Strucken while writing in this diary." The army ended up sending her all of his belongings after he died, and they were able to return the body to her after World War I, and he was buried in Pennsylvania. While researching his death, I actually found a newspaper article about it in 1918 about how the only part of her son that she now had were his diaries and letters. Now, I obviously only have one of his diaries. It's clear from this newspaper article that there were more and there were also letters, but she actually also had another son that died of sickness around the same time, and she said in that article that her daughter-in-law died of a broken heart. Just awful. This particular soldier didn't have children, and right now I'm only finding distantly removed family, which again, sometimes that happens when researching these artifacts and trying to return these artifacts. Sometimes I really can't find any family members or any descendants. So for now, I am going to keep this diary in my archive, and who knows, maybe one day a book or a movie can be made to memorialize this soldier's life and his sacrifice. I actually spoke about this diary a little on TikTok. And again, once again, which is in almost every single heirloom return video I post on social media, I had commenters asking why I return these items when families just throw them out. So I want to discuss that a little bit more. I know this is a controversial topic, especially when we are getting into the topic of estate sales and vintage resellers, but regardless of what any reseller will tell you, these families are not just throwing out these items. And it makes me angry that there's this stigma and this myth that this is what the families are doing, that they're throwing these items out, which is so not true. I mean, one example of this is sometimes families can't pay for storage units anymore, or someone who owned a storage unit passed away and the grandchildren, the children, they don't have access to that storage unit. So then that storage unit gets auctioned off. That's how many flea market vendors and vintage resellers get their inventory. With estate sales, many families have estate sales, but what led to the estate sale is family drama. So if, for example, if a home isn't in a trust, that home gets passed to a certain member of the family. The family doesn't give the items to anyone else, just sells off the estate for a quick buck. And again, how many vintage resellers and flea market vendors get their inventory? Also estate sales. This is why I get so angry when I contact a reseller when they have a specific item a family really wants back and they won't budge on price. So in my last Q&A, I talked about how there are good vintage resellers and not so good vintage resellers. And I have a lot of great relationships with so many amazing resellers who don't overcharge for family memorabilia or family heirlooms. But then there are some resellers that'll take a family photo album and mark that photo album up hundreds to sometimes even thousands of dollars. And sometimes I'll contact resellers and I'll say, hey, this family wants this item back. I understand you can't give it for free, but can you budge on price? Because this descendant, this direct descendant of this ancestor who owned this artifact wants this item back and they won't budge. That's where it, so to speak, really steams my clams. It's something I deal with on a monthly basis. I mean, it's really similar to also how museums don't like giving artifacts back, right? I mean, we can talk about that in a little bit, which I probably might now that we're on the topic. But this takes me to what I wanted to discuss next, which is the world of underground artifacts. And of course, my dog wants to play with his toys right now, which is super convenient because Seymour, I'm talking about a very serious subject right now. I have been debating whether or not I wanted to publicly talk about this because this world is essentially a dark rabbit hole where there are many underground dealers that know about me and obviously don't like me or what I do. This is also why many museums don't like me either. But it's okay. I guess I'm doing my due diligence and my job correctly if it means that these types of people don't like me. That's how I think about it. But the antiques trade is actually a multi-billion dollar industry. So you can only imagine how much it's worth underground when you're dealing with stolen or looted family heirlooms. And especially, again, it's something that we don't talk about enough, but a lot of these artifacts end up underground because of family drama. So this specific information that I'm about to share came from Project Archaeology, but archaeological artifacts and family artifacts have a very similar history when it comes to the underground trade of artifacts. In 2019, it was found that Facebook had 95 different groups with almost 2 million members dedicated to selling artifacts from different sites, time periods, cultures, you name it. Over a third of the artifacts were from conflict zones, which basically means they're areas where violence makes it easier to loot and smuggle artifacts. Again, this is the rabbit hole that I'm talking about, but there have been several museums, and we're talking about museums here, right? They have revealed that pieces within their collections were acquired from the illegal artifact trade, which, by the way, this subject is not discussed enough. I have no doubt in my mind that most museums in the world have artifacts that were acquired from the illegal underground artifact trade. I have no doubt in my mind. And again, I'll talk about this in a little, but like if you go to a museum and you ask, how did you obtain that artifact? They don't have to show you all of the documentation of how they obtained that artifact, which is a huge issue. Oh my gosh, my dog. He's making a lot of noise right now. I will 100% die on the hill that museums are similar to zoos. You don't need to go to a zoo to learn about an animal, and you don't need to go to a museum to learn about history, especially in this digital age. Artifacts deserve to go back to their rightful families and countries. Many underground dealers know they can make millions off of these family artifacts, And a great example of this is Holocaust or war artifacts through private buyers and museums. This is why I always prioritize war and Holocaust artifacts, because I really want to get those artifacts and heirlooms back to their rightful families. I don't want them getting into the wrong hands. So now the question is, how can we start moving forward and protecting ourselves? My best advice is getting a trust. Get a trust over a will. The reason is because a trust is a clear way to pass assets on to certain family members. It allows you to add all of your money, property, heirlooms, you name it, home. The division of your assets is 100% clear, 100% final. No one can go back on it, which in a will, people, unfortunately, you can in a will. Wills are, again, it's family drama and wills. A will is not final, unfortunately. You would think it is, but it's not. Trusts, however, allow you to avoid probate. That means that your family members cannot change or challenge the terms of the trust. It also means that the assets in the trust are accessible to whoever you gave that item to once you pass away immediately. This can save so much time, so much anguish, so much aggravation, and quite honestly, it's also a really great thing to do if you have children, let's say, and your children don't ever want to get a prenup. I know, again, that's a controversial topic, but if you put all of your assets into a trust and then you die, and let's say your daughter marries a man and she doesn't have a prenup, all of your assets, even after you pass, are still protected in that trust. So the husband, if he ever divorced your daughter, for example, could never get access to the items in the trust, even though there's no prenup. So please, guys, put all of your assets, family heirlooms, artifacts, your homes, everything into a trust. I cannot stress this enough. I know I can talk about this for hours longer, but I think I vented enough during this podcast. But next episode, we are going to switch gears to love, sex, and relationships. I am going to discuss all about how relationships have evolved over history, how sex has completely changed from what it used to be, and most importantly, what do I do when I find super graphic love letters, which happens all of the time. But yeah, next week's episode will be very spicy, and there is a lot to discuss. For more genealogy, history, and heirloom returns, make sure to follow me at City Chic Decor on Instagram and Chelsea I. Brown on TikTok.